The NHL is the first of the major pro leagues to announce a structure for its return. While it doesn't specify when or where, we at least know how and who plays whom. Yes, there are matters of health and safety to be worked out with the Players Association, but amid the uncertainty of a global pandemic, the NHL has given its fans reason for hope and a clear vision of what comes next, whenever that may be. We'll dive into that vision and the course that leads there on this episode of SBJ Unpacks. I'm Bill King, joined now by our NHL writer, Mark Burns. Mark, the NHL became the first of the major pro leagues to announce a structure for its return, agreed upon by the clubs and the Players Association. What does that framework look like? Broad strokes to start, and then we'll get more specific.
Yeah, no, definitely could dive into it, and thanks for having me, Bill. The league announced on, all these days are bleeding together, have been bleeding together for a while, but I believe it was on Tuesday, the league announced their format for return to play. So basically you're going to have two hub cities, which haven't been determined. There's a list of about 10 that the league is considering. Two hub cities playing host to 12 teams in each hub city, one conference, one Western Conference in one city, Eastern Conference in the other city. The top four teams will play a round robin, basically play everyone to determine seeding, and the bottom eight teams in each conference will essentially play a play-in series to determine the final four teams to come in. They'll come in, and then you'll have a round of, you'll have 16 teams, and then you'll have a traditional sort of NHL playoffs. Although I believe on the first and second rounds, there's still a trying to determine if it's best of five or best of seven.
Right.
And then on the conference finals and Stanley Cup will be a traditional best of seven. So that's the general format. You know, you're going to have critics, you know, saying it's, you know, not maintaining the integrity of the game, and this is, you know, goes beyond the scope of what traditional playoffs look like and all of that. But, you know, in my opinion, hockey in some format is better than no hockey. And getting to this point, I think is remarkable in and of itself. So now that there's a plan in place, the league's got to get the go ahead to actually play games. So yeah, while hockey, the plan is here, hockey's not technically back yet, but hopefully it'll be back in the coming weeks.
So straight to the playoffs, why'd the league choose that route? I guess when you really start to dig into it, you realize that salvaging regular season games doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, teams had, I think, between a handful of games to maybe six or seven on the high end for some teams remaining regular season, you know, games in general. Maybe some with, or at least home games, I should say. So some teams had more than that. I just think it makes it easier to go in right into the playoffs. They're already crunched for time to some extent. And I mean, frankly, we have to consider next season too. And I think the league is, their messaging has been pretty clear from, I would say from day one, when there's been thinking about how they're going to continue, how they possibly will finish this season, is they don't want to jeopardize next season's format. Although they have said they can start play as late as January. And Commissioner Bettman and Bill Daly, I believe, said it on Tuesday with the announcement that they could start in January. So, yeah, I mean, going to the playoffs is the easiest way to kind of kick things off. And, yeah, hopefully you'll see games. At this point, I mean, May 28th, the earliest you could see games probably is the third or fourth week in July.
Right.
Based on the timetable that's been set, although things could change and maybe that gets moved up a little bit. Maybe that goes into early August. But that's still TBD. And the league from day one too, they haven't really set any dates on, you know, hey, this is our target date to return. It's been very, very vague, and it's, you know, obviously a fluid process.
The interesting choice to mesh the play-in series and the round robin, rather than have those teams that are already in sit off to the side and wait. I suspect that that's something that not only was attractive from a television perspective, but also attractive to the players. I know, in fact, wasn't it the Lightning, I think, that there were two teams that voted against it, right? Where the players voted against it was the Lightning and the Hurricanes. And I think the Lightning said that their objection was more than anything the concern that being the higher seeded teams would actually be disadvantaged.
No, 100%. I think, and you hit the nail on the head, TV. And also I think too, there's some benefit to playing, right? You're going to play a few games before playing actually in the eight team playoff for your conference. So at least you'll get some games in the determined seeding. You're not going to just be flat-footed. I think even the teams that play in the play-in series would be well at an advantage, given the time off and then also the playing a handful of games before they would play, the one versus an eight seed, and the one maybe not even having played any games. And you're talking, they haven't played games since March 10th, 12th, right, somewhere in that time frame.
13th, I think.
And then playing games in, let's call it like first week of August. That's an incredible amount of time to be off. So I think it helps, that helps the teams, but also obviously good for TV, but understand where the Lightning are coming from for sure.
And it'll settle the seeding as well, right? I mean, which actually does, which becomes crucial, especially when you think about, and by the way, there will be people who question the integrity of this season. This will never be anything but an asterisk to whoever wins the championship. I think that's unavoidable. But even more so, if you look back, I remember when sports fell apart, having conversations with people saying, well, how can you not conclude regular season games? Because you're looking at the integrity of the season. If I'm a second seed and I still had games remaining against two of the best teams in the league, and you're a third seed and you had games against, cellar dwellers, that third seed could argue, wait a minute, I would have been in a stronger position than the second seed. I would have passed them. That's still going to be out there, but at least there is a way for them to sort of settle that, I guess.
Right. No, I would agree with that. This season will always have an asterisk on it. To the end of time, regardless of whatever format they decided on. But hey, there's hockey, hockey's almost back.
So what happens to the clubs that are out?
At this point in time, I think they're still trying to figure that out in terms of, what their offseason will look like. But if you think if games don't start until, next season, until January, that's, 10, 11 months that they would have been off. So yeah, I'm not entirely
sure. Not only that, never mind on the ice, but what about from a business perspective? I mean, are they still going to, everyone's going to share equally in the media since it's national media, I suspect. I don't know if there's any, if there's going to be regional media out of these, and those will just, that'll just accrue to the playoff teams. That I wonder what that all looks like.
I know, our colleague John Oran reported yesterday, I believe, that RSNs, they haven't been told yet, but they're expected to, I believe he reported having the first round at least. But I think, a lot of that is still TBD from the teams that aren't playing.
So if I'm one of those eight teams that's not playing, I'm kind of raising my hand and saying, I don't have any RSN money, but I'm still getting my cut of that. Right. Is that or is that going to be accrue only to those teams that are in?
I'm not sure on that.
I mean, there's a lot to sort out when you think through the economics. I mean, let's think about what is salvaged here and what is not.
Mm-hmm. You're having teams come out with their refund policies and what that looks like. And teams have a definitive answer on what things look like for 2019 and 20. I think there's some sensitivities around that. And obviously teams wanting to hold on to that money, but also there's, the refunds that will be in place. But I think that's a big question though. The seven teams that aren't playing, what are they doing during the offseason and how will they participate in the playoffs from a financial standpoint?
Another economic piece of this, you lost your home gate. There's no question about that. And that's for everybody, by the way, because these will be spectatorless games. So you lost playoff gate. That's all revenue that's gone out the window. You get this national media money, which is pooled, sponsorships, anything like that. What does that look like? Is this all going to be like the Stanley Cup finals, or is this going to be like, home playoff games from a revenue perspective?
Yeah. On the sponsorship side, from my conversations this week and even like late last week, that's still to be determined if it's going to be, team assets or like a league asset. It's what you said, if it's going to be run like the playoffs, will you have the sponsorships in the corners, right? In the playoffs, you have that, will that be, because this is, unique, could some of that, maybe go to the teams, who knows? But I think a lot of these questions are still TBD and have yet to be answered.
Another one that's TBD, but is at least a little bit determined, and that's sites. I know initially they were looking at four hubs. They ended up at two. And I think that's, when all the leagues now, it's interesting though, because baseball's looked a little differently. They've decided that they're better off in their home ballparks. But when leagues have looked at hubs, I think they've decided generally the NBA and the NHL both figuring fewer hubs are better. Two hubs in this case, right, to be chosen from among Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Why so broad a menu at this point?
I think from just a geographic standpoint, based on where teams are maybe coming from, as the conversations have gone on, they would like to be in NHL markets because they're in NHL venues because they're best suited to you know, handle like the back of house with,
right,
with production, everything from a TV stamp.
And ice, by the way,
built for that.
And ice, by the way, NHL caliber ice is not just like a layup that everybody assumes it is. We found that out with countless expansion markets.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you have, and you're going to have multiple games a day on these ice surfaces and, you know, these rinks and these folks behind the scenes, they're equipped to handle this. So, I think that was obviously a key factor. The infrastructure in place in some of these cities from a hotel and housing and just being able to handle 12 teams. I think that's also obviously a main driver of this. So, you know, you mentioned all the markets, some of the markets, at least there's a few Canadian markets, some out west, some in the south, some in, you know, kind of the northeast with Pittsburgh. Dallas is a market in there, which I had not heard of yet. So it'll be interesting to see like which two markets are selected. You've heard a lot of reports on Las Vegas,
mm-hmm,
and I've read and been talking to folks. They have really good ice, even though they're in the desert,
mm-hmm,
and the infrastructure from a hotel standpoint. So I wouldn't be shocked if Las Vegas at least is, you know, on the, maybe the short list of the 10, possibly LA from just a cachet, you know, saying you're in LA. And then, you know, on the short list, possibly, you know, maybe a Canadian city. You got Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton. You know, I'd be shocked if there's a Canadian city on the short list of the 10.
The interesting thing with Canada, though, right, is they're dealing with different quarantine restrictions there. If that,
yes,
if as things stand there now, is that a 14-day quarantine mandatory?
Yeah, I should have said that's, you know, my saying one of the Canadian cities is caveated with if that is relaxed or if that doesn't interfere with the NHL's plans. Sure, I think a Canadian city could be on the short list. But if that, I believe as of today, that 14-day quarantine is still mandated and they're not relaxing that for the NHL. Maybe in negotiations or in conversations that will be relaxed. But at this point in time, I don't believe it is.
Well, I suspect a lot of that can be determined as well. You think, and one of the reasons to have so many options is because you now have time to both A, find out how welcome you are, mm-hmm, and B, find out what the virus looks like in that market,
sure,
as the summer,
yeah,
progresses.
Yeah, some of these, you know, cities, I'm looking at some, I'm not sure, you know, if they've already gone past their peak, you know, if they're trending towards their peak. I know numbers in the States obviously have gone down, you know, considerably. But we're still dealing, you know, this pandemic is still around and COVID isn't going away anytime soon, even if it is the summertime. So I think that will play into it too. How are things locally in those markets?
I think Staples is really interesting if again, depending on what Southern California looks like, and where the governor is on in terms of welcoming sports back. It sounds most recently like he's open to it under certain conditions. I think Staples is interesting just because you can, if you think about creating a quarantine environment, you kind of do have some opportunities there at Staples, as I understand it, in terms of moving in and out with a, you know, really without ever contacting anything outside.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if, like I said earlier, if it's on the short list, just given that, and then maybe there's something to saying you're in LA, you know, the cachet of it all. I don't know. It shouldn't be probably taken into consideration, but I don't doubt if it is.
There's still a big, big, giant, I'm not sure how big that is, but it's really big. but one thing that's left open here, the players have agreed that if they come back, this will be the format. But they haven't actually agreed to come back, right? What remains that still has to be resolved? I mean, in spirit, I think they've said, yes, we want to come back, but health and safety still has to be resolved and the economics have to be resolved, right?
Yeah, I think our colleague Liz Mullen, she reported earlier today that there is still, you know, I think a few issues to figure out between the league and the PA, including escrow. And I know that's an ongoing conversation between the league and the PA. But yeah, they still need to figure that out along with some other issues. You know, we're not there yet in terms of coming back, both, you know, government guidelines and all that, but in terms of the player, the union conversation with the league.
Liz spoke with Don Fehr last night. You're right. And the economic piece of it remains unresolved, I think, in terms of escrow and any money that might have been clawed back from the players at this point that they would like back. I suspect that that's something that has to be worked at. We know that's something that has to be worked out. And then the other question on health and safety, you know, we see from the, you know, MLB with its massive plan that seemed to be so well thought out. The players saw a lot of things in there that they were uncomfortable with. And so that has become a point of negotiation. So mm-hmm. I wonder how the NHL players will feel when they start digging through what health and safety looks like.
Yeah. There's still question marks about how the league and the union, how they're going to handle players who maybe are uncomfortable about returning. You know, let's say you already have, maybe you're diabetic or you have right. some type of, you know, previously compromised, you know, immune system and you haven't fully recovered or that's just something that's going to, you know, linger with you throughout your entire life. Those are questions that still need to be figured out, but they're definitely not. I mean, I don't even know if you can compare the NHL and MLB, but from a league and union standpoint, I mean, it's night and day different, the conversation and where things are. I mean, MLB is, the clock is really ticking on them to reach an agreement, and it seems like they couldn't be farther apart at this point in time.
Right, but you feel like hockey is close?
Yeah, Donald Fehr, the executive director of the union, he downplayed the
escrow?
You know, even the escrow issue, yeah, he downplayed that and said that's, I mean, it's not, you don't want to make it more than what it is, and I don't see that being an issue. In terms of at least players coming back, they wouldn't interfere with games and players coming back to play.
Now, the NHL is also, they're starting to take steps toward allowing players to come back for workouts, correct?
Correct, yeah. They're targeting early June, so I think maybe the first week in June, that players can come back to individual and participate in individual workouts. The maximum players at a facility is, I think, up to six. If you're in a market, but it's not your home market, but you're close to a facility, I believe you'd be able to train there, possibly. So yeah, things are moving back to, they're still in phase one, self-quarantine. They've been in this for quite a bit of time,
right.
Hopefully moving to phase two. And then the earliest that they could begin training camp, which is at phase three, is July 1st. And then Donald Fehr said on Tuesday night that the operative, in his words, quote unquote, operative number for training camp is 3 weeks. But I think that could go up and down, you know, possibly. So, yeah, I mean, you're not talking until hockey coming back until third and a half week of June, or excuse me, July.
Right.
So we're still a ways off. But it was an announcement on Tuesday to get some people talking, to publicly, you know, put out the league's plan. But we're still weeks away, you know, over a month.
While I've got you, you also covered the MLS. What's the latest there? They really do exist in a different economic universe than the other major pro leagues because the clubs rely so heavily on local stadium revenue. I mean, and it's not now in the case of the NHL, local revenue is a really big deal in comparison to national revenue, but there's also local RSN revenue, much less the case in MLS. Really, it's all about selling tickets and putting people in seats, right? So where's the MLS now?
Yeah, they're in the process of kind of shortening the window that players would be in Orlando. And none of this has been finalized. None of this has been announced publicly by the league. But as it sits now, and I believe ESPN, Jeff Carlisle, he's been, you know, all over this as well. He reported earlier in the week that teams would remain in their home market till about the third week in June before going down to Orlando. Which would decrease the amount of time people are away from their families, away from their home market, and limit the time in Orlando. So teams would participate in a group stage, which would include, I think, four or five matches, and then there'd be a knockout stage. And the group stage games, those would count towards the regular season, according to his reporting. And so, you know, they're still trying to figure out the Orlando piece. And then to what you said on the financials, I mean, from the player standpoint, in the league, you know, one, they don't have a ratified CBA. I don't think that has to be ratified before them to actually play games. But they're trying to figure out player salary cuts and what the league has proposed. And they've gone back and forth for a couple of weeks now on that. So is it possible that we could have an announcement by end of day tomorrow? I think so, but there might be, there's more conversations that need to take place. And frankly, if it was just Orlando and kind of the return to play setup, it'd be, I think, much easier to actually get this thing moving forward and have an announcement. But you're trying to do two things, but also have like a larger conversation.
Yeah.
So it's complicating it even more. Plus, the league is trying to incorporate a force majeure clause into negotiations, which essentially would allow the league and its owners to unilaterally cut player salaries during a global, you know, crisis.
Right.
Similar to the pandemic or, you know, some other type of, you know, similar crisis. And so that's also part of it. So it's just getting more complicated. The conversations you know, I think have progressed a little bit. I shouldn't say a little bit. They've progressed, you know, I think considerably from a few weeks ago, but there's still a lot of things that need to be figured out. And, you know, the clock's ticking.
Well, Mark Burns with the NHL, at least taking a step toward its way back. Thanks so much for helping us sort through that.
Thanks for having me, Bill.